sigma equals to 0, and minus gamma equals minus 1 cap equals to 1. So those are our lifetime gauges. And so the first thing before we launch into the Ragan Hamiltonian of the protocols training this gauge, so let's see the consequences of this, right? So first of all, if I write down the whole sheet metric, gamma alpha beta, so I'm going to get gamma tau tau component here, which depends on tau and sigma. Then I get gamma of tau and sigma, which depends on tau and sigma. Then I get gamma tau and sigma. And then here I will get gamma sigma sigma. And one of our choices that we made is that gamma sigma sigma depends on tau. Okay. So what we also will need is the inverse metric, right? So remember in a protocol action, the inverse metric enters. So I have gamma alpha beta equals gamma tau tau. Actually, before we go into there, so let me continue here. So I know the determinant of gamma alpha beta must be equal to minus 1, right? So that's one of our gauge fixing conditions. And so that tells us that sigma sigma gamma tau tau minus gamma tau sigma squared equals to minus 1. All for gamma tau tau, which is going to be equal to gamma sigma sigma minus 1. And then here I have gamma tau sigma squared minus 1. Okay, so there are two conditions. Well, actually, so I have an arbitrary function here. And this function, gamma sigma sigma, depends only on tau. It's not dependent on sigma. So now what we will need the inverse metric. So inverse metric will take this form. I'm just writing down it in general. But now I can plot this in there and just compute the inverse of the metric, right? And you allow me not to do this on a diagram. So if you're going to do that, you will find out that this is minus gamma sigma sigma. And then I have gamma tau sigma, gamma tau sigma, and so here I have gamma sigma sigma minus 1, 1 minus gamma tau sigma squared. Okay, so this is just a simple linear algebra, get matrix, and compute the inverse. Okay, very good. So now we take a protocol action, that's protocol. Pi, alpha pi, d tau, d sigma. So there is minus gamma square root, then there is gamma alpha beta, and then there is del alpha x mu, del beta x mu. So the first thing, we're going to simply write down this political action. Using this metric and imposing all the other bicongage orders. So first of all, this guy equals to 1, so it will drop out. And so this guy equals minus 1 over 4 pi alpha prime integral d tau d sigma. Okay, so let's just look carefully. So the first of all, alpha, I'm just doing a very simple algebraic manipulation, and if I copy carefully from my paper, I should not be making mistake. Right? So this, so here must be tau tau. I will start tau tau, but that's minus sigma sigma. So I have minus gamma sigma sigma del tau x mu. Let me first choose. Light cone gauge on the wall sheet, and then we move to a space time. So then I have del tau x mu. So we have this piece. Then there is a piece coming from alpha beta, one is tau, the other one is sigma, that gives me a factor of 2. So I have 2. Up indices here is the same as lower indices. So I have gamma tau sigma. Then I have del tau x mu del sigma x mu. Okay. And finally, there is a piece with sigma sigma. So I have plus sigma sigma with upper indices. So I'm going to skew this piece. Minus 1, 1 minus tau sigma squared, and then del sigma x mu del sigma x mu. All right, so all I have done so far is just write down the action in almost HPs. Almost HPs. So now finally, we want to continue and we want to note that this index is x mu is actually x plus, x minus, and xi. Right? So we go to our Lycoln coordinates in space time. And so what this immediately implies that del tau of x plus is going to be equal to 1, and del sigma of x plus is going to be equal to 0. Right? So one of our choices is that x plus is exactly the Lycoln time. Good. So now we look at our political action, and we're going to collect various pieces. So let's collect ij pieces first. Okay. So I have minus gamma sigma sigma del tau xi. Del tau of xi. Then there is a subset term plus 2 gamma tau sigma del tau xi del sigma xi. And then there is a third term, so plus gamma sigma sigma minus 1 minus gamma tau sigma squared del sigma xi. Del sigma xi. Okay, so I collected ij pieces. By ij, I mean those transverse coordinate to our Lycoln coordinates. Next, the only term that will be left is x minus. So now we're going to collect x minus term. The reason there will be no x plus term because x will always come with a derivative, and derivative of x plus will either be 1 or 0. So let's look at x minus. So in the first piece, I have x plus, so there will be a factor of 2. Let me just say what I mean more precisely. So I have x plus here, del tau x plus, which is the same as plus, gamma tau tau, and then I have del tau x plus del tau of x minus. And actually, there is additional piece, which is minus and minus, right? So there is additional term del tau plus x minus del tau x minus. So this guy gives me plus gamma sigma sigma del tau x minus del tau x plus. And so now we're going to use simply the condition that this derivative is actually 1 in our Lycoln gauge. So those two pieces together will give me 2 sigma gamma sigma sigma del tau of x minus. Okay. And so the only other place where x plus or minus can come from is from this term. Cannot come from this term because sigma acts always here on x plus. And del sigma on x plus equals to 0. So that actually tells us that there will be only one contribution coming from here. That's when this index mu is plus, so this guy is minus. And so the other piece is going to be the other term is plus 2 gamma tau sigma. And I have del tau of x plus, and then I have del sigma of x plus. So this guy is 1, and now I'm going to raise this index to go back to x minus. X plus is not going to be a dynamical variable, as in the case of point particle, it's only x minus and x sub I. And so I have minus 2 gamma tau sigma, and then I have del sigma of x minus. Okay, so very good. So we collected all the pieces. Okay. So now I want to introduce the center of mass position of the string. So what I'm going to do, introduce. So the average position of x minus coordinate, x minus. So in general, it's a function of tau and sigma. So I'm just going to define it as x minus of tau plus y minus of tau and sigma. Okay. So the way how I did this decomposition, this is an average of capital X minus. So by definition, this is an integral 0 to L d sigma of X minus tau and sigma, and I have one of the L here. So what this immediately implies, that an integral from 0 to L d sigma of Y minus goes to 0. Okay, so this is just a convenient decomposition, as you can see in a second. Okay, so very good. So I want to keep this going. Okay, so let's look at two terms in which x minus enters, right? So there is a contribution. There is a term here, okay, and there are two terms where x minus enters. So let me write them down. So there is 2 sigma del tau x minus, and then there is minus 2 gamma tau sigma del sigma of x minus. So now what I want to do, I want to ask how those terms will look like under my decomposition when I separate the center of string position for the x minus coordinate. All right, so let's look at this term first. So this term gives me del tau of little x minus plus 2 gamma sigma so this is my first term. I'm going to call it A. This is the second term. I'm going to call it B. So for A plus del tau of y minus. So I'm going to show you now that this term doesn't matter. Okay. So why this term doesn't matter? Well, so remember that what we have to do, we have to integrate. We have to integrate with respect to tau and sigma of whatever the pieces I'm writing down, it's that integral. So I have this term here, del tau of y minus. Okay? So now you can see the benefits of the light cone gauge that we did. So remember that gamma sigma sigma depended only on tau, but it did not depend. It did not depend on sigma. So what I can write down, I can leave the integral with respect to tau outside, and then I can take out 2 gamma sigma sigma outside of the sigma integral, doesn't depend on sigma. So I will be left with integral with respect to d sigma del tau of 1 minus. Okay. And now I'm going to make one more step, right? So in this integral, so this is an integral of d tau to gamma sigma sigma, right? So I'm integrating with respect to sigma variable, but the derivative is with respect to tau. So what I can do, I can pull out the tau derivative outside of the integral, and so I will be left with sigma of y minus. Okay. And so now you can see beautifully this guy actually vanishes. Because the way how we did our decomposition is the integral from 0 to L of y minus equals to 0. So this integral equals to 0. So I have del tau acting on 0 times whatever something else times the integral. So this guy equals to 0. Okay. So what we showed is that indeed, in this term A, this guy does not contribute. Okay? So which is very good. You will see why. You can see I hate this. I hate, well, this is what they, it's sometimes difficult that when you run string theory and somebody tells you do this, and then, yeah, if you do that, you get something nice and simple. Otherwise, things will be very complicated. It's, you know, not at all clear why those steps must be done, but you will see at the end of the day, everything will be so simple. There's this stuff in between. Okay, so let's look at this B term now. So if I look at the B term, so I have minus 2 gamma tau and sigma del sigma of x minus, right? So now I'm just going to write it down as little x plus y minus, right, of tau and sigma. And so you can see that there is simplification in this B term as well. So in fact, what is going to happen is that this guy does not depend on sigma. And so when I take a derivative of that, it will vanish. So the B term gets simplified, and it becomes minus 2 tau sigma y minus. Derivative, del sigma of y minus. Okay, so now I can tell you what is the whole reason we've been doing all this light cone gauge. So that's the place to see it there, actually the reason. So notice that this y minus coordinate, which is a non-trivial part of x minus, depended on a Wolschitz sigma coordinate, will not have a tau derivative as it enters in the action, right? So x minus, so y minus enters only through those two terms, and so we used our light cone in such a way that this term does not contribute. There is only x minus, right? Little x minus. There is no contribution from a complicated y that depends on the space-time coordinate. So this term would imply that 1 minus is our dynamical variable because it contains, there will be a conjugate momentum due to it. So that term vanished. And so the only contribution where y minus how well minus enters in the action is with the derivative with respect to sigma. So what this tells us that y minus is not a dynamical variable. But rather it is a constraint. So it's a sophisticated Lagrange multiplier. So it's a sophisticated Lagrange multiplier. So it doesn't lead to any equations of motion. It just imposes constraints. What we will do, we'll try to figure out now what are those constraints and what will be the upshot, so that it will be a constraint and it will lead us. I don't want you to get lost right now. Imposing the constraint due to variation with respect to y minus will lead us to condition that the off-diagonal piece of the bullshit metric is zero. Remember, we didn't have enough freedom to put all diagonal pieces to zero. And that was a complication. We have lots of mixed terms, right? So you can see there is a mixed term here. This guy looks ugly. It has 1 minus the square of something. And all I'm saying right now is that once we identify that y minus will be a constraint, I will show you now that that constraint will lead to an exact solution for the all-diagonal component of the metric. And in fact, in this Lyapunov gauge, the whole purpose of it, if you wish, was to make sure that we can choose a diagonal metric on the bullshit. Okay, so now we have to see that. Okay. So how are we going to see that? Okay. So first of all, let's do variation. So let's do variation of the particle action with respect to y minus. So just want to vary as particle with respect to y minus, and I want to assign it to be equal to zero. Right? So the piece that we have to vary with respect to y minus, well, I'm not going to write down this. I like to write down my variations in the integral form. So this will be a variation of an integral d tau d sigma, right? And so the only piece where y minus enters is this term up here. So it's going to be a variation of minus 2 gamma del sigma delta y minus, right? So that's the only place in the action where y minus will enter.
Can I ask a few questions? As a 2D metric is always conformally black, I mean, the off-diagonal uniformity is zero. If we can always
restrict. Right, so you're right. I can use diffeomorphism invariant in such a way that the metric, I can remove off-diagonal. That's absolutely correct. However, I guess a posteriori, what you will find out that the action is still incomplete. Okay. My claim is that by choosing this Lyapunov gauge the way how we did, so that we are at this stage we're still left with some components, we will end up with a simple quadratic action, all dynamical fields, that one outcome, and well, the metric will end up being diagonal. So I haven't explored. What would have happened if I would just do diffeomorphism invariant fixing, as you said. But that would not definitely be enough. In order for me to get to a physical spectrum, I would still need to fix wild invariants. And again, so we don't have to lose the track. So there are various ways how we can quantize the string in various gauges, okay? And so we're doing quantization in the light cone gauge because the claim is we can get to the physical spectrum in the fastest possible way, which I think is true. So then we will do quantization in a covariant gauge. So and it doesn't matter as long as you fix all the gauge degrees of freedom properly and you deal only with physical degrees of freedom. It doesn't matter what gauge you choose. The spectrum should be invariant with respect to gauge fixing. So let's continue, okay? But you agree with me that at this stage it's in no way obvious it's all there and not component must be matched. So that's our approach. You sure? So once I do this variation, so if I do this variation and so that leads, so the variation is there. So I have to integrate. I have to integrate by parts. Okay. So I integrate by parts, and I will find the del sigma minus two plus two del sigma gamma tau sigma delta of y minus. Okay. And then there is additional piece. Okay, so then there is additional piece which will be minus two del sigma gamma derivative times delta y minus. So there is still an integral from d tau, and so here I have sigma equals zero. Okay, so I didn't cheat, right? So now I want to do the following thing. I want to look back at our boundary conditions, so and see how the boundary. So what we did, we took a particle action and we rewrote it in the light cone gauge. But we have to do the same with the boundary condition. And in particular, we will look at the open string with the Neumann boundary. Right, so that's the only kind of open string that we discussed with you is consistent with space-time Poincaré invariance. So Neumann boundary condition in light-cone gauge. So remember those conditions to this form, del sigma of x mu was equal to zero. That's a Neumann boundary condition. And so I can write this down as gamma sigma sigma del sigma of x mu plus gamma sigma tau del tau of x mu. So I just wrote it explicitly. Now I can use the inverse metric written on the blackboard out there. So this guy becomes so gamma tau sigma del tau x mu, and then I have plus gamma tau tau, right? So with the upper indices. So I have here gamma sigma sigma, which is gamma sigma sigma minus 1, minus gamma sigma tau squared. And then I have del sigma of x mu to be equal to 0. So I haven't done anything. I just took Neumann boundary conditions and rewrote it in the light cone gauge. And so index mu should be over all dynamical fields. And so in particular, of interest for us here is other two cases. So we're going to choose mu equals plus. So if we choose mu equals plus, and of course, this must be at the boundary. So this is, I should write down, this is correct. For sigma equals zero and L. So we have a vanishing, of these derivatives when sigma equals 0 or L. So if I choose mu equals plus, then I have tau sigma as a function, for example, of tau and 0. And then I have del tau of x plus, plus minus 1 of tau, 1 minus gamma tau sigma squared of tau 0. And then del sigma x plus. That must be equal to 0 because of Neumann boundary condition. But the way how you, now you can see finally the benefits of choosing the right column time, you know that this guy equals to 0. So all this complicated bracket drops out. But this derivative equals to 1 because our Wolschik time is the same as a light column time. And so the Neumann boundary condition implies that the orthogonal component of the metric evaluated at the end of the open string wall shape actually vanishes. So this is true on both ends, right? So I did it at the left end, but obviously you can do it for both ends. Okay, so that's the boundary condition when we put mu equals plus. And so now, once I use this, so I can forget I can forget about this term altogether. And so for the let me just finish with the boundary condition. When x equals to I, so this guy is 0, I will count gamma sigma sigma minus 1 of del sigma xi must be equal to 0 at the endpoints, right? When sigma equals 0 or L. Now, we don't want the degenerate metric. We should be able to take the inverse of the metric. So we have a Neumann boundary condition on the transverse coordinate of the string. Del sigma of xi must be equal to 0 at the boundary. Okay, so those are all relevant boundary conditions for us. So once we understood these boundary conditions, let's go back. And look at our Lagrange constraint. So let's look at our Lagrange constraint. So first of all, this boundary piece involves gamma tau sigma. But we just showed that if we impose a Neumann boundary condition, gamma tau sigma vanishes. So this term goes away. And so in order to satisfy the Lagrange constraint on y minus, or the equation of motion for the y minus, so E or M for y minus implies that an integral of d tau d sigma of del sigma gamma tau sigma of delta 1 minus must vanish for arbitrary function. Okay? So you agree? Okay. So naively you would have said, well, this is an arbitrary function, and so that from here, this immediately implies that del sigma equals to rho or to 0. Okay? And that's incorrect. So this is wrong. This is wrong. And the reason why this is wrong is because the variation of y minus is not an arbitrary variation, it's constrained. Remember that our field y minus was constrained in such a way that when we integrate it over the whole length of the string, it must vanish. What this implies, it implies that the variation of that field integrated over the whole space coordinate on the string must vanish as well. And so actually, vanishing of this integral simply tells us that del sigma gamma tau sigma must be a constant, or in principle it can be a constant that depends on tau. T Okay, if this guy is a constant, then I can integrate with respect to the sigma, and it will give me a zero. Right? So the constraint is not that the derivative vanishes, but rather the derivative of the off-diagonal component of the metric is independent of sigma, which is to say that L2 of sigma, gamma tau sigma, equals to zero. So given this constraint, the correct equation on the off-diagonal component is this second derivative vanishes. So we have this equation. So this is a second order differential equation. And then we have a boundary condition. Right? So we have vanishing of the function at both ends. We have identical zero boundary condition, two boundary conditions, which is exactly the same order as differential equation. So the solution to this differential equation now everywhere must be equal to zero. If I have a second order equation and my function vanishes at the end, the only solution of that equation is that the function is identical to zero. I proved to you what I promised, that resolving the Lagrange multiplier constraint on y minus leads to the condition that tau sigma, gamma tau sigma vanishes identical. Okay? So once we did that, then you can see lots of terms vanish in this particle vector. And I have lost track of all the good blackboards, lost all the pieces, so you have to bear with me. So now what we have that I'm going to put gamma tau sigma everywhere, and then everywhere is the particle vector. And once I do that, the action will take a very simple form. So first of all, I will find out that my action depends on the following fields. So I have x minus as a function of tau. I have gamma sigma sigma as a function of tau. Right? We haven't done with gamma sigma sigma anything. And then there are transverse coordinates. Again, I have done nothing. Notice that there is no y minus, and the reason for that is we already solved for the equation in motion of y minus, and we plug from delta s protocol from delta y minus equals zero. So we plug to that equation, of course, plus non-em. Okay, so if we do that, then the Lagrangian of the particle action will take the following form, minus L over 2 pi alpha pi. Minus 1 4 pi alpha prime. Integral sigma. Sigma delta tau xi. Delta tau. Minus gamma sigma sigma minus 1 del sigma xi del sigma xi. Okay? So what I did, I wrote you the Lagrangian as a particle of action, as particle, simply the integral of the now of this Lagrangian of the Lagrangian. Right, so the reason, so what I did here, you pretty much can believe me that there will be some integral. What you might worry is, where did I get this term? Well, notice that this term contains only the quantities that depends on tau. X there is a little x, so it doesn't depend on sigma. So what I did, I computed the integral with respect to sigma, and that integral simply gains the total x of the string L. So that's our starting point. Right, guys? So any questions up to now? So you can see already that things look very nice and very simple. So x is transverse coordinates and quadratically. Okay, so let's continue and find the Hamiltonian of the system. And I think that's where we will end. We'll discuss Hamiltonian equation of motion and canonical quantization next time. So good. So I identified the identical variables, and so we can now construct conjugate momenta, right? So P minus is the same as minus P plus. So that's a Lyapunov momenta. So that's del L over del tau of x minus, right? I have to compute a variable conjugate to x minus, a conjugate momentum to x minus. So now, if you look at the Lagrangian that's given there, so that's simply minus L over 3 pi alpha prime gamma sigma sigma. Okay, and so. What you see that P plus equals to L over 2 pi alpha prime gamma sigma sigma. So this is actually very similar to what we had in point particle case. So what we had is that P plus was equal to minus eta minus 1, so it was related to the metric component of the string bullshit. And so naively, we might have thought that gamma is a coordinate, but it's not. It's actually related to a momentum, not quite in the point particle case. Okay, so very good. So now we can construct momenta conjugate. Momenta conjugate to xi of tau and sigma. And in order to do that, so that's going to be what I can call capital I, pi sub I, super I equals pi sub I. So raising and lowering transverse indices doesn't cost us anything. And so we have to take a derivative of the Lagrangian with respect to del tau. Of xi, and so if you look, well, actually here to be more precise, I need to write down as a variation of derivative, and so you can see that where does it come from? It comes from this piece, and there will be a factor of 2. The factor of 2 will be because I have del tau xi squared. So there is 2 over 4 pi alpha prime, and then I have gamma sigma sigma del tau of xi. What I notice is that I want to rewrite this answer including p plus, so that's going to be equal to So if I cancel 2 here, so I have 1 over 2 pi alpha, right? And that's the same combination as it's in here. So I have p plus divided by L times del tau of xi. Okay, so in other words, I can invert this relation, del tau of xi is going to be equal to L divided by p plus. Of pi sub I. Okay, so we are on our way to construct the Hamiltonian of the system, and so once we compute a derivative of coordinates, we want to express them in terms of conjugate momenta, and that's exactly what I achieved there. Okay, so we're all done, and. The last formula we're going to derive today is actually a Hamiltonian. So the Hamiltonian of a polyfold string in Lyapunov H is going to be equal to so h equals p minus del tau of x minus, right? So here I have center of mass coordinate, and then I would need to, so these p sub i's, they are not the momenta, that's related to your question, but they are the momenta densities, right? In order to have the momenta, I have to integrate with respect to sigma. And so what this tells me is, it tells me that in order to write this down, there will be a, there is no sigma dependent here, but there will be a sigma integral here from 0 to L. So here I will have p sub I del tau of x sub I. So those are generalization of the point particle case. And minus the Lagrangian, that's minus the Lagrangian. All right, so this equals to. So where is my Lagrangian? I erased it. Okay, so let me keep writing it. So it's p minus L tau of x minus, and it's not with the first term. Then the second term, I want to express the derivatives with respect to coordinate in terms of momenta. So I have p sub I times delta of x sub I is p sub I times L divided by p plus. Okay, so that's the first two pieces. And then there is a Lagrangian. So where do I have Lagrangian? Okay, so that's going to be a challenge. I'm not that tall. So anyway,
you can just write down the findings of
we have a little bit of things.
I will think less of myself if I go into that.
Thank you. Yes. So let's just fold. It's so simple that we can fold. So here there is this delta of x minus, there is a minus sign. So now this term here is related to p plus that's exactly p plus, including the minus sign. Okay. So this is just not a p plus. That's exactly p. If I put the minus sign, so that's a p minus with the minus there. So I have minus p minus L of x minus, right? So that's, we get rid of this piece. And then there is this integral there. So it's minus, so this integral 1 over 4 pi alpha prime. And then I have an integral from 0 to L, d sigma, gamma sigma sigma, I have to write down in terms of p plus. So it's going to be equal to pi alpha prime p plus divided by L. Okay, so this is what was gamma sigma sigma, and then I have delta of xi, and those guys are pi pi L squared over p plus squared. So that's the term that will come with minus sign. And then finally there is this term, which will come with the plus sign, plus 1 over 4 pi alpha prime, integral from 0 to L d sigma. So I have gamma minus 1 of tau. So that's going to be equal to L over 2 pi alpha prime. Sorry? P plus will be in the denominator here, and then I'm doing nothing, those are the. Okay, good. So I'm happy now. So that's our Hamiltonian. So now you can see that delta L x minus cancels as it does in the quantum particle case. And so here you can see that this term is exactly the same as the first term up here, right? So 2 pi alpha prime, and I have 4 pi alpha prime, so there is a factor of 1 half. Now, p plus, I cancel 1 power of p plus, I can cancel 1 power of l, and so it's exactly the same piece, and it comes with minus 1 half, right? Minus 1 half. So all together, the Hamiltonian of the string will look like. So we have H going to be equal to. It's going to be equal to 1 half integral from 0 to L. D sigma L over P plus, and then I have PI and PI, and then there is plus, plus there is another term which is L over 4 pi alpha prime squared. And then I have an integral from 0 to L, d sigma, 2L, 2 over p plus, L sigma, x, xi, of xi. Okay, so very good. So, so at this stage, this is what I would have to do, but let me do one more step, and I justify that step tomorrow, I mean next time, is that p plus is actually a conserved quantity. So from Hamilton-Jacobian equation of motion, from Hamilton-Jacobian EOMs, right? So we have a Hamiltonian, we can derive equation of motion. So what we will find out is that delta tau of p plus equals to zero. So p plus is actually a constructive quantity. P plus is a constant. And so what I can do, I can pull out p plus of that Hamiltonian integral. And so once I do that, my Hamiltonian will take this form, that over 4 pi alpha prime p plus, and I have an integral from 0 to L d sigma, okay? And so I have 2 pi alpha prime pi I, okay, and then there is and then there is a piece there, so that's plus 1 over 2 pi alpha prime, right? So I would have 4 pi alpha prime, but there is a factor of 2, so it would be 1 over 2 pi alpha prime. Del sigma xi, del sigma of xi. Okay, so as I promised, when that at the end of the day, the Hamiltonian of the Poliakov string in a light conjugate will take a very simple form. And indeed, we have just a square of momenta plus the square of a square of coordinates plus a square of quantum momentum. All right, guys, so next time we'll start from here, and we'll derive equations of motion, and after that we do canonical quantization.